All right. Welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast, episode number 6. We don't have a guest this week, taking a little break from, I think we had, what, 3 guests in a row?
Yeah.
That's and one of those is Chris Roberts. I mean, they were all awesome, but one of those is Chris Roberts. So it's like, oh, my God. So we don't have a guest this week. So it's just Jim and I. Hey, Jim.
Hey, hey.
So, we haven't talked about what we've been playing for a while, I guess. So you have been playing some space games. Like, I think we talked about you playing some Endless Space and some other stuff.
Yeah, I really was enjoying Endless Space. What? I can see where it actually has an end, though.
Wait, you said, yeah, you were, so it's past tense. Like, you're not.
Yeah, well, it's just I haven't got back to it, right? It's the distraction thing and ADD in space. Mm. But, yeah, so I played it, and whenever I played it last week, I gave it, like, a day and a half of doing nothing but playing that game from the time I got up to the time I went to bed. So I was kind of digging it. But it's definitely one where you don't spend a lot of time designing ships and like micromanaging components and stuff. It's just like, well, this is the best new technology that I've got. So I'll put like 5 of these and 3 of those and 2 of this on it. And okay, I'm going to build 10 of those and send them out. Right.
Exactly.
So you don't really control the space combat at all. It's just kind of like, this is the kind of tactics I want to do, rock, paper, scissors. So that's interesting to me because I think that works better in a multiplayer game, because then it doesn't become like 2 players are fighting and everybody else that's playing has to wait and sit and watch them micromanage out ship moves. Right. Combat can get over with in 2 minutes. So that's pretty great. And it's a better option, I think, than putting it on auto resolution combat, which is what I would always do in like Master of Orion or something. Right. So it's just like, I don't want to deal with that stuff, just abstract it or whatever. But here it actually lets you see your ships duke it out a little bit, but you don't sacrifice time for that. So that's cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too for a while. I'll be honest. I did too. And then the cracks started showing.
Yeah. Well, I definitely see that the depth of multiple replays and stuff may not be there.
Yeah.
Because it's like Sword of the Stars, they randomize the tech tree and stuff like that. And then whenever you look at some of the other like super deep 4X games where it's like, oh, you design your own race, you know, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not going on here. But this sits in a nice middle ground, you know, between something that's like super simple and, you know, something that's like kind of deep.
I guess it is kind of beer and pretzel-y a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I take it as like the Civilization 5 of 4X space games.
And you know what? I didn't play much Civilization 5 in single player, but I'm having a blast with multiplayer. So maybe Endless Space will do the same thing. Maybe we need to set aside a time, you and I, where we sit down and play this thing multiplayer and see if it's any fun.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Ouch. Now, the other one, I picked up Star Drive. And I'm kind of, I don't know about Star Drive. I need to sit and actually like read the manual and figure out what I'm doing. Because it seems I was expecting to have some more, like a smaller scale to it. Right? And more so, this is kind of like, well, you control the flagship, but then you have to order other ships around. But there's, I don't know, it seems like you're trying to see the universe through, like, looking down a paper tube, right? So you can only see a very small thing at any given time, unless you, like, zoom out to the big map. But it's kind of like, it wants you to have control of an individual ship. And also you have to deal with, like, the universe at large with, like, 1,000 planets, right? So what was that other game that you convinced me to get, the one from Matrix Games?
Distant Worlds?
Yeah, Distant Worlds. I picked that up.
Ooh.
I'm equally confused with it. But it's just a thing of, like, what you were talking about in there is, like, let the whole game run on auto and then control 1 or 2 ships.
Yeah.
And then like, take over features as you feel comfortable about it, because the game is really that massive. I couldn't believe when the map pulled up, I'm like, are there really like thousands of stars here?
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
And there's potential stuff at every one of them. There's ruins and monsters and pirates and other races. And I love that game, but I'm going to be honest about Star Drive. I got the beta a while ago because I kickstarted it. And the first several times I tried to run the beta, it just would crash on me. And when I finally got it to run after they updated it for the whatever-th time, I started playing. I was like, okay. And I looked for a manual. I couldn't find a manual. So I'm like, okay. And then I saw this – I don't know why this bugs me. But then I saw that they have like these built-in tutorials, but they're video.
Right.
They're not
– like, it's like, let me take you out to YouTube.
Yeah. They're not interactive. And – there's two things about that killed me. One you just kind of mentioned. One, it takes me out of the game. It like takes me out of the moment. And I didn't like that. And two, the lack of interaction is not really good for me. I need to actually tell me what to do and I will do it. But don't like show it to me because I might forget. And so I need, you know, an interactive tutorial. So I'm a little concerned about this video stuff. And so I'll be honest, people have been asking me about it and I've tried to be nice, but I keep putting off going back to it. I do. Yeah. I know
it might be a fine game, but it's maybe a hard thing it's a tough mountain to climb because you can't get footing at the base.
And yeah, like with Distant Worlds, I had a manual to read and the tutorials, if I recall correctly, were interactive. So I did all of those. I read the manual but with Star Drive, I couldn't find a manual. And I guess it's not – I mean it's been in beta, so maybe it's not finished. And the tutorials are video. So I felt like it was kind of working against me a little bit. Like,
yeah,
try to find the fun, buddy. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of times with these games, what will happen is I'll think, you know, I'm trying to play Master of Orion 2. I really wish this game was Master of Orion 2.
Yeah.
I should just fire up Mu 2. Because it's like, this is prettier, but the other game, the thing about it was Master of Orion, Master of Magic, and the old Civilization games used the exact same interface, right? And like the people, so you would have like X number of people that had wheat next to them and X number of people that had little wrenches next to them, and it was... You know, it made sense. There was nothing to learn, and it was not about the struggle to learn the new GUI. It was about how do I play this game, which is exactly the reason that I like Starbase Orion so much on my iPad, because I don't have to think about what the interface is.
Right. But even going beyond the interface, there was just something indelibly simple. I mean, maybe not simple. Maybe that's not the best word, but just intuitive is maybe a better word. Like these space games have come out that have these amazing interfaces. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel, maybe, and more like copy the wheel that already worked really well.
Yeah,
that's why I like Beyond. I gotta say, because he's trying to give you all those options in that.
Oh, cool.
And you could have it be like Master of Orion 1 or Master of Orion 2 or a mix of the two, and you can mod it the way you want. And I mean, I think Star Drive has a lot of potential, but it kind of put me off a little bit. And every time I think of going back to it, because people have been asking me, and I should write the preview, and yada, 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 I load up Skyrim, or I load up Time Pattern, or I load up, you know, Dead Pixels or something, because it's just something – I should just bite the bullet.
Yeah.
I should just do it, but I just –
You know what we should play for grins is we should fire up Star Trek Next Generation Birth of the Federation.
You know, I wish I owned that. I really wish I owned that. Yeah, I never, for some reason, I never got it when it was out. And now it's like the cheapest copy you can find is like $50.
It is Master of Orion Star Trek.
And I hear it's good. I hear it's not.
It wasn't stellar,
yeah.
But it had a lot of patching that happened afterwards. That
oh, really?
Kind of helped it out, yeah.
But you know what I love that a lot of people in this similar vein that a lot of people couldn't stand was Star Wars Rebellion. Remember that one?
Yeah,
that one was. Yes. I loved that one, and like I feel like I'm one of the few people who did sometimes.
Well, that was like a Master of Orion, right? But like the heroes that you would pick up would actually be like Luke and Leia and Han.
Yeah, I mean, it was very hero-driven, but it was also kind of a 4X, but it was a character-driven 4X, so there was less building and such. I mean, it had its warts, but and its interface was crazy. Boy, it really scratched an itch very well.
Yeah. You know, the Star Wars games that maybe people loved them, but I really hated them was what was the RTS Star Wars games? Something Assault.
Well, there was
Assault.
There was a Galactic Assault or Galactic something. That was built on the Age of Empires engine.
Yeah, exactly that. That used to just drive me bonkers. It was just like, this is like a mod. This isn't a real Star Wars game. This is like we took Age of Empires and shoehorned stormtroopers into it.
Yeah. Apparently people like that one, but there was one from there was one from a few years ago that apparently was it Empires at War that apparently was pretty good, which I still haven't played.
And that was yet another one. It was Star Wars Empire at War, and that was it was basically the same deal. It was
but it had space combat,
the ground combat. The space combat wasn't too bad.
That's what I heard.
The ground combat was kind of interesting too, but yeah, it still falls into that thing of just like this feels cheesy and artificial and it's a mod.
Yeah, it's fun, guys. Jim and I were earlier today talking all these Star Trek games, so I think on a future podcast we're going to talk like the history of Star Trek games and maybe Star Wars games, because there's a lot of inconsistencies there in those hugely licensed universes. Yeah.
I think some of the best Star Wars stuff that has happened has been fan mods to other things. You know, like where they took like Battlefield 2 and built a Star Wars mod on it. Things like that.
Yeah. I think I remember one for like Doom 1 or 2 that was just fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm more forgiving of that because it's just like, well, some guys hacked this together because they love Star Wars. It's not like an officially licensed property or anything that, you know.
And then they get ceased.
Can you imagine? Yeah, get ceased and desisted. Exactly. Well, can you imagine? I just went brain dead.
That kind of night.
Yeah, Heroes of Might and Magic. That's what I was trying to think of. Can you imagine a game like Heroes of Might and Magic, but instead of orcs and goblins and griffins, we just had AT-ATs and stormtroopers and battle droids?
Well, there is a thing with scale there that would be kind of, how would you do that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at this screenshot of Empire at War, and it's like, there's some dude that is on the back of a Rancor, mm-hmm. and then there's like a line of battle droids with the shields around them, and there's some tanks behind that, and there's some AT-ATs that are like so close that their heads are pointed like straight down because they're shooting the guys around their feet, right? And then there's stormtroopers there that are like knee high to the AT-AT. It's goofy. No. No, it just takes me one screenshot to look at and remember why I hated that game. It might have been the best game mechanics and stuff, but just to see like that weird gaminess of it, my brain just rejects it.
Well, speaking of games we hated, that's kind of our topic for this week because we have.
Yeah, I know. I'm bringing it in.
You're bringing it in. You're loading. You're going there.
Bringing it.
I don't think there's a Star Wars space combat game that's bad enough to hate. But I haven't played them all. Like, I didn't play Jedi Starfighter. I didn't play...
Well, that's why. Because you're not casting your force powers from inside. Can you imagine TIE Fighter, but you had force powers, and you would, like, shoot lightning out of your TIE Fighter?
Wait, that can't be... Did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Was that really...
That was Jedi Starfighter,
oh,
totally.
No.
You would use your Jedi powers.
No.
You should seek it out.
No.
So that you hate it.
Oh, God. Did that come out for the PC at all?
No. The first one did. The first one, which was just Star Wars Starfighter.
Yeah.
And it had the fighter. Yeah.
Yeah, you got
I don't know if that runs anymore or not. They sell it on Steam. It's like $5, but I haven't tempted fate.
Wait a minute. I might actually have that one. Wait a minute. If it's on Steam, I might actually... Come on, Steam. Steam's being a bitch, as it always is.
I'm kind of scared. Like, we got into that conversation today about the Star Trek games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was watching the trailer for the new Kirk and Spock Star Trek game that comes out in just a couple weeks, I think. In a month, right? Because it'll be about this time next month that it comes out.
Yeah.
What they're trying to look like is Mass Effect.
Of course. Right? It's successful.
It's a co-op buddy game. And I like the co-op thing. I mean, like with Left 4 Dead 3, they made a straight-up co-op game, and they did it quite well.
There's a Left 4 Dead 3?
Or not Left 4 Dead 3. Dead Space 3. See? But it's got dead things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so Dead Space 3, it's a co-op game, right? You can play it single-player, but the other guy is just like a bot that runs around with you. But if you get two humans that play it, and they have drop-in at any time into a friend's game, so you know it's well done. It's definitely not the haunted house experience that Dead Space 1 and 2 was.
Right.
It's more shooty and stuff. So, you know, but it is actually kind of Left 4 Dead-ish. You know, it's just like me and my buddy and hordes of zombies run at us kind of thing. So, you know. But anyway, if they do the Star Trek game, Kirk and Spock, in that kind of vein, because they say right on the description of it, it's like, this is a cover-based shooter. And it's like, okay, so it's like Rainbow Six in space, sort of, Spock and Kirk. But, you know, that seems kind of interesting, if they do it right.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Star Trek games always scare me, because there have been some Star Trek games that were so bad.
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
Oh, yeah.
That it just makes me cringe. Like, oh my God, not that license. Like, I trust that license the least of licenses.
Oh, no. There have been a lot. We were talking about that today. There have been so many horrid games. Like, Starfleet Academy was one that I was going to mention on the list. I don't know. Did you play that one?
You know, the funny thing about Starfleet Academy is that's how I got hired to write for Computer Game Strategy.
I'm sorry then.
I wrote a review. No, I wrote a review of it for free. I posted it up on GameSpot, right?
Oh.
And I was like, starships are supposed to like have a dance, you know, where they shoot at each other and have complex systems and stuff.
They're not
and then
giant
starfighter
fighters.
Games
yeah.
are supposed to dogfight. So why do I have the Enterprise and I'm dogfighting?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Exactly.
So I wrote this thing, and one of the editors from CGS was like, hey, would you like to write? And that's, you know, here I am. But
there's something good
so
came
that was
out of
the
that.
Beginning. Yeah, it was the beginning of an era. Now, you keep telling me about how great Klingon Academy is.
It's apples like, and oranges. It's night and fucking day. I'm not even kidding. Klingon Academy is insanely detailed. It's like got every, and there still is a little bit of like you fly with the joystick more often, but it feels more like the dance you were talking about than dogfighting. At least it did to me. But yeah, you've got this complex system of orders where you can order like just about every bridge crewman to do something, and they have like at least six commands each, and it's this complex, and it made you feel like you're on this big complex machine where you had to monitor your power and you had to tell the guy to put the shields forward and all this great stuff that neither Starfleet Academy nor Bridge Commander, which is a better game than Starfleet Academy but not perfect.
Bridge Commander's not bad. I've been playing it lately.
Yeah, it's all right.
With the super mod on it or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
I think that's what they call it.
Yeah, I think so. The mod community for that game is phenomenal.
Yeah, they added a bunch of ships. They redid the models for everything.
Yeah.
They still haven't managed to make See, this is the thing. In the space stuff was great even before the mods. It was fine.
Yeah.
But dealing with the crew people on the ship, it was just like, wow, these people, their faces are like three polygons. What the hell? You know, it's like two different games married together or something, and it was like really rough to watch people, like their mouth moves like like some kind of epileptic puppet having a seizure. I don't know. It's just terrible. Right. But then the actual spaceship commanding part, not so bad. But the missions, the thing that got me, and it's a Larry Holland thing, because he tends, even in X-Wing, he did it really bad. TIE Fighter, not so much. But X-Wing, there is puzzle missions.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, and it's
yeah.
just like, I have to repeat this mission 10 times because I have to, you know, you have to know that this ship is going to get attacked at this time, so I need to be there. And, oh, yeah, and I have to intercept space bombs. You notice how I bring that up every time I talk about...
Yes, because they're horrible. But, no, I think that's one of the reasons I stopped playing X-Wing Alliance. Because yeah. not only was it not the most exciting game, at least in the beginning. Apparently, I heard it got better or worse, depending on who you talk to. But it felt, like, very puzzly.
Yes,
me.
And the Millennium Falcon stuff just did not fly with me.
And puzzly...
It was like...
Sorry.
That was good on paper.
Right.
It's like every kid's dream is to fly the Millennium Falcon until you get to do it. And then it's just like, wow, no. Can I get my A-Wing back? That would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, puzzly missions in space games can work. Like Independence War 1, in 2, not so much. But the first Independence War, their missions were fairly puzzly, but they were so elegantly made that you didn't mind. At least I didn't. And
right.
they were just so well woven into the narrative that it didn't matter. Like, the puzzle didn't feel so puzzly. You felt like you were actually, you know, moving the story forward, not just solving a puzzle for the point of solving a puzzle. So it can work, but more often than not, it doesn't.
Yep. So why did you hate Dark Horizon?
We'll
go down the list.
Dark Horizon, well... This is one of those, like, during the mid-aughts, I guess you would call them, the mid to late 2000s, that might have been one of the worst droughts of space gaming. So, like, this popped up one day on Gamersgate, which I will always love Gamersgate because they got Parken 2. They're the only place you can get that, and it's a wonderful game. So I'm like, okay, it's on sale, it's a space game. I'll try it. I think I made it through 20 minutes, 25 minutes before I just said, fuck this, and quit. Because if I'm remembering correctly, and I think the Tomorrow War, which is also on my list, had similar problems. The objectives were a bit confusing. The controls were terrible. The HUD was not the greatest, and it was kind of buggy.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, I have a lot of tolerance for space games. A lot. I have a lot of patience and a lot of tolerance. And I could not deal with this. I didn't want to deal with this. It was like, this is not fun. This is not fun at all. Why am I even playing this? But you know the most disappointing game on my list? It came out in the late 90s. It's called Forced Alliance, The Glarious Mandate.
Okay.
Hardly anyone's ever heard of this one, let alone played it. But I got it.
Was that a 4X?
No, it's a space. It's a fighter sim. These are all. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's a fighter sim, and it was supposed to be like Wing Commander-esque. But as you rose in ranks, you got to control more. Like, you would get a win, and then you would get a squadron, and then you would be choosing the missions for the squadron. You know, you can rise all the way up to like Wing Commander, and crap. And it had so much potential, but the game itself was garbage. It was utter garbage. Like, it copied stuff from TIE Fighter and it copied stuff from other games, but it didn't work. Like, you know, in X-Wing and TIE Fighter, you have those two radar displays, and one tells you what's in front of you, one tells you what's in back of you.
Right.
And even though that seems a bit silly, it works. Somehow it works. Even though you're in three-dimensional space, somehow that two-dimensional thing works. They kind of copied this in Forced Alliance, and it was horrible. How do you mess that up? It's so simple. How do you mess that up? Yet they did. They messed it
Amazing.
Up.
Amazing.
Plus, space was blue. That
Yeah, blue space bothers me.
Me too.
Wing Commander's got some blue space going on, too.
A little bit. I mean... Okay, in the early 90s, you know, it was kind of new, whatever. You know, it was like, this is the first, ooh, I'm in space, it's a little blue, that's fine, I don't care.
We should ask Chris next time we get him on the show
why.
Because he's the first one that did it. It was like, why is space blue?
Why is space blue? But this one was like, okay, this is like 98 or 99. We'd gotten past that point, you know, where space shouldn't be blue anymore because space is pretty black in TIE Fighter and Free Space and the other Wing Commander games. But space was blue. And just the weapons felt really wimpy and the AI was just brain dead. You know, it had so much potential. Probably one of the biggest examples of wasted potential. You know, it was like someone said, let's make a Wing Commander clone, and they just threw a bunch of crap together and thought it would sell. I mean, that's how it felt.
Yeah.
And I still have it on disc, and I will never get rid of it. I don't know why.
I swear that I had this, because I'm looking on Mobi Games, right, and looking at they've got gameplay on YouTube. Let me peek this.
Oh, while you're God. Doing. Yeah, no, good luck with that. It's horrendous.
Oh, wait a minute. This is like, why are there people with lightsabers in this? Like in the cutscene, there's like some Jedis.
I don't remember. I mean, you're supposed to get to know your crew members and stuff in between, but it didn't matter. They might as well have been Alpha 1 and Beta.
There's some kind of ground. There's some kind of ground-based RTS stuff going on here too.
Is there? I never made it that far.
Never made it that far. Yeah, this looks like a mash of every bad game I ever played. Like put right together here.
That's pretty much how I felt playing it too.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that one was such.
We'll tell good old games to hurry up and get that one out.
Now, do you want to hear about? Wow. You know what? I would probably buy that again because I'm a sucker. If good old games somehow. Oh, speaking of which, that's kind of the big news for this week. Did you see they put out Strike Commander today?
No, I didn't.
Yep, Strike Commander with the expansion pack and the speech pack, $6.
Dang,
I know.
Be amazed.
We were just talking about
that's pretty
great. A couple weeks ago with Chris Roberts. We were talking about Strike Commander and how awesome that game is.
You know, I did get it running, and the way that I got the thing running, because I had joystick troubles, right? Mm-hmm. There's a thing in there where it's reverse joystick axes for axes 3 and 4.
Right.
For some reason, I told it to use a 2-axis stick, and then I uncheck the box in the launcher for the reverse axes 3 and 4.
Right.
And then because without doing that, every time I would start the game, even after you calibrate the stick, the cursor would roll up into the upper left corner of the screen and just stick there, right? And then you couldn't do anything. And that was the same thing that got Subwar 2050 working. So there you go.
Oh, you're playing. You got that working. Ooh,
I did. Yeah,
that's a great game.
Yeah, it's too bad that it didn't use at least like 3DFX. Stuff, you know, in OpenGL.
I think
if it would have done that, I could upscale it, but it doesn't do it. It's all straight like rendered.
I think that Subwar was like right on the cusp of that.
Yeah.
Like right
before. It came out at like 1942 Pacific Air War.
Exactly.
Those were coming out then too.
Yeah, like so, mid-ish 90s, like 94, 95 before 3D acceleration started taking off.
Really? Yeah. Hey, speaking of mid-90s, right, because the game that I bought the same day that I bought my computer, XCOM, I found out today that XCOM is coming to the iPad, the new XCOM.
Oh.
So they're going to actually have mobile tablet. Yeah. And I think the game will do really well on mobile tablets because the interface and stuff, it'll get along fine.
Well, that makes sense. They did tweak it for consoles, so I can't imagine it's that far of a jump to a tablet. From a console.
Not too bad. Yeah. Well, you saw that that Black Shark video I sent you. Just blew my mind.
Why can't
like,
someone
crap.
Do a space? Why can't someone do like that with TIE Fighter? Folks, before the show, Jim sent me a video for this Black Shark HD. Now, it's not a space sim, it's a helicopter sim. And you're flying, I think it's a KA-50 Russian helicopter.
Yeah.
But it's on an iPad. And this looks this looks like
it blows away the PC. Hello, the PC games back for like Gunship or was it?
This looks like Comanche Hokum, like the late kind of 90s. It looks like that on an iPad.
It looks really good.
It looks amazing. And why can't someone do a TIE fighter thing or a Wing Commander thing with that? That would be, I mean, okay, I guess they kind of have Galaxy of Fire, but that's kind of not a sim. That's like a freelancer style shooty thing on tablets, which is good on tablets, apparently. It was good on the PC. But why can't someone make like a TIE fighter thing like that on an iPad? I might actually start covering those kind of games.
It's like, please, Larry Holland, wherever you are. Yeah.
Oh, please, hear our prayer. Please put TIE Fighter on an iPad. I will save money to buy.
Well, you know, Disney can smell the money. Hmm. So all we have to do is just open the window and like wave a stack of dollars, and maybe
they would have
the mouse
our money.
Pay attention.
Both Apple and Disney would have my money at that point. I'd be buying an iPad. I'd be going to the App Store and buying TIE Fighter HD or whatever the fuck they would call it for the iPad. But if oh my god, because they already have like Imperium Galactica on the iPad,
yeah,
and they already have Spaceward Ho on the iPad, and they already have that Master of Orion clone. Was it Starbase Orion that you were talking about? They have,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, the iPad's it's becoming like an amazing thing. It is an amazing yep. thing. I want one so badly. Hey, everyone who's listening to this podcast, chip in and get me an iPad. I will love you all forever. You'll all be my new best friends.
So you said
anyway. Random rant. Sorry, folks. This is like we said last week, F the format. We're just having the conversation.
No, is one of the games that you just mentioned there, the is Imperium Galactica.
Yeah.
Because I saw Pax Imperia on your list.
Oh, that's
of games
a completely different thing. That's
and,
completely
different. Okay, because I get those confused.
Oh, I can understand that. No, Pax Imperia, it was Imperia or Imperium. I always get those mixed up. That was a sequel to a Mac-only game that apparently was good. Pax Imperia, I believe it was called. And apparently the first one was actually good on the Mac. I don't know. I've never played it. I'm going to eventually, but I heard it was good. So, God, who did the second one? I think it was THQ, maybe. And it was called, like, Pax Imperia 2, Eminent Domain. And I don't know what the hell they were thinking with this game. Because, I mean, it was a few years after Master of Orion, and there were some other games out that were pretty good at the time. So it had not a ton of competition, but it had some. So you'd think you'd try and make a good game, and maybe they did. I don't know what happened, but it was terrible. I mean, it was I think I only played one or two games of it before I just threw my hands up and stopped. Because it was okay, I'll be honest here. I like Star General more than I like that game. And I know I'm one of the few people who actually like Star General. I thought it was fun. It's not great, but it's fun. Star General is better than this.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just it's you're going to compare games from around the same time, trying to kind of do the same thing, sort of. Yeah, Star General, better game, really. Yeah, these are all terrible games that I don't want people to buy. Some of them you can buy now, some of them you can't. You can buy them on Amazon, I guess, but don't. That's what I'm telling you. Now, do you want to hear about the first space game I actually ended up? Okay, maybe the second. I'm trying to remember, because Privateer 2 was truly hateful. It was just, I hated that game. I don't know if there's a word for how much I despised that game. But I think this game came out first. It was like one of EA's early ventures into space sims. It was called Darklight Conflict.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you played
that. You hated that the most, huh?
It's the first space game I truly remember hating. And which I think at the time was rare for me. And I remember being surprised at how much I actually disliked it.
Yeah, I remember just kind of being it didn't hold my attention very much, although I played it quite a bit. But it was just kind of like the whole time I was playing it was just like, I should be playing something better.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly. Like, it was kind of pretty. I think it had some rudimentary 3D acceleration. I think it was I think it came out in the early days of 3D Accelerator.
Yeah, but there was no textures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all garage shaded.
Well, I think it also was ported to the PS1 at the time.
Oh, wow.
I think.
I believe you're right, yeah.
So yeah, there wasn't a hell of a lot they could do with the engine. But, yeah, that was like their venture into space combat, and it was about as bland and unexciting a space game as you can get. And I remember being surprised at the time because just about every space game I'd played had been at least some fun, you know?
Did you ever play Mantis?
You know what? I think I played it once. I vaguely remember. I think I got it in a Babbage's.
Mm-hmm.
I think I played it once, and I don't think I ever went back to it for some reason.
Yeah, I think I had the same deal. It was one of those games that I kept seeing on the shelf.
Yeah.
And I wanted it so bad. Yeah. And then whenever I finally got it, it was just like, oh.
Well, if I'm remembering about Mantis correctly, you didn't feel like you were flying. You felt like your ship was like a turret.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because it had like a full Newtonian flight model.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that other thing that we were talking about, that Braben game, Frontier Elite World. Where you would just, like, do headlong passes at each other.
Like you were jousting.
Yeah, exactly.
Jousting thing. Yeah, it was horrible.
And if it wasn't that, it was basically a missile-chucking sim, because you didn't want to do that, so you'd fire off all your missiles, but then you'd have to dogfight. So, yeah, it was just, like, not the experience I was looking for.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one very well. I should probably put it on the list, because it's apparently not good.
Yeah, it came out around the same era as Tornado.
Yeah, I remember. It was like 92, 93, and it was Microprose, wasn't it?
I think maybe, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that was like the first Microprose game I remember not being thrilled with. Because I would buy almost anything with their name on it for many years.
Yeah, pretty much. They had the reputation. It was like, I don't need to know what's in this box. It says Microprose.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think, and now, didn't they also put out the Lightspeed and Hyperspeed games?
Which I never got around to playing.
Those were good. Those were fun.
Yeah.
Those were fun. I enjoyed those very much. But yeah, I think Mantis was kind of a flop, if I'm remembering correctly. That's a good call. I totally forgot about that game. That was not a very good game, if I'm remembering now.
Yeah, not so much at all. Oh, what else is on your list here? Well, there's Space Empires 5.
Yeah. Folks, this goes on sale a lot. Don't bother buying it. If you can, even though it's a lot older and looks kind of – it looks really. Get Space Empires 4. That's the last good one. And the cool thing about these games, at least 3 and 4, which are the ones I played the most, is that since it's like top-down 2D, it's easy to mod other ships in there. You know, kind of like Distant Worlds, really, because they have the star. They have a Mass Effect mod for Distant Worlds. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
You should look that up. They also have a Star Trek one that's actually pretty awesome as well. But yeah, they made all these like graphical mods for the Space Empires game. But 5, I don't know what happened. I think they were trying to do too much, because 3 and 4 just had a great balance. They were great to play, not only solo but through email. Great play by email. And lots of options to build ships, lots of options to create your universe. But 5, it just felt wrong. It felt like, not that they were trying too hard, but that it felt like even they were bored. Like, let's just do this. You know, we needed to make another game. Let's just do this. It's like, really, people? Really? Yeah, so that was a huge disappointment. Oh, there's another Space Empires game on my list I didn't put on here that's not very good. It's called Star Fury. Have you seen that one?
I remember the name, but I don't remember the game, so maybe that's telling.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like a ship. You play a ship in the Space Empires universe, like a trader and stuff. And I usually love that sort of stuff, but it was so boring. It was so boring. I couldn't get over how boring it was. I usually get a thrill by flying from one planet to another and just having cargo in my hold to make some money on. I like even that. With this game, even that was unexciting. It was like, oh, I'm landing. Oh, I'm selling cargo. Oh, I hate being a spaceship captain. You know how rare that is for me? I don't like being a spaceship captain. I'd rather be doing something else. Really? Me? Come on. That doesn't happen often. So that's another one to avoid, people, is Space Empire Star Fury, I think it's called. Because, yeah, and I see that in bundles, and I see that on sales. Don't get it. Just don't. Just avoid it. Now, there are some games where I didn't put on the list that other people like that I didn't. Did you ever play Dark Star 1?
Yes. In fact, I have it for the Xbox now.
Apparently,
I had it on the PC.
Yeah, apparently it's a little better for the Xbox from what I understand.
Well, the tactic that I found that worked on the PC that just made the game cheese as hell for me is you were supposed to dogfight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I found out is that if I held down the back key, you know, and you go backwards, then the enemies would fall in line right in front of your reticle in front of you as they tried to shoot at you. And you had much better shields than they did. So you could just hold the fire button down in reverse.
Oh, seriously?
They would just line up to be killed. Yeah. So.
Wow, that's bad.
A little bit of an AI problem there. Yeah,
yeah, that's bad. I just hated that you were in one ship the whole time. Like, that went against, like, everything I love about all these space games. Like, ooh, I get to try a new ship with new stats. Like yep. Ooh, I get to buy that. Ooh, I want to buy that ship. Write down where that ship is being sold. You know, I love that stuff. Like, that ship is being sold in this base. Okay, I have to save up and go back. But, and that was, like, true in Freelancer and stuff, especially. But this game, you're only in one ship? Boring? I'm sorry. I don't care how
the ship gets modified.
Yeah,
so.
But it's still one ship.
It's like, you're bolting on new hull pieces.
I know, but it's green and it's yellow and it's one ship and it's not a very it's an ugly design. It looks like a shuttle from Star Trek. It's not the most it's not the sexiest of, you know, designs where, like, you know, oh, I really love the sleek lines on that ship. I'm saving up for that fighter, you know, or whatever. But with this one, it's like, oh, I can make my ship bumpier with new armor. Woo! You know?
So let me tell you about another game, one that totally escaped your list, because it is so bland that nobody remembers this game existed.
Okay.
Star Rangers from Interactive Magic.
I'm sorry. I love that game.
Really?
I love that game. I own it.
You tell.
I load it up sometimes because it doesn't ask for much. And when you understand that all it's asking you to do is jump around and shoot stuff and protect star bases. And
you know what? It's Star Raiders.
It is. It was an updated version of Star Raiders. Crap. There's another one. Because there was an actual updated version of Star Raiders that came out a year ago, two years ago. It was so bad. Oh my! I bought it the day.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I remember that. That was like it was almost like Asteroids, not Star Raiders.
Yeah, it's. I can't even speak. It's that bad. But Star Rangers, by Interactive Magic, that was a lot of. I loved that game. I played that one to death because, for some reason, the weapons felt right and the combat felt good, and I liked how you had to kind of zigzag along the warp. Transit conduit. You couldn't just you weren't like in some autopilot that just kept you straight. You had to like fly through it. I kind of liked that, and it was just something about it that really clicked with me.
Really?
And yeah, I still
think
own that game on disc.
Simplicity, huh?
Maybe.
I'll have to hunt up. Like, I'm sure that my CD is long gone, but maybe the guy that I used to give my CDs to, because he had a crappy old computer, so I'd do hand me downs. Maybe he's got it.
Let me see. I know I still have it. I'm looking for it right now. wait. There's Dark Light Conflict, you son of a bitch. Yeah. you fucker. Yeah, Star Rangers, right here. Interactive Magic, right next to Starfleet Command. I don't know why. But yeah, I got it right here.
Awesome.
Yeah, I played the hell out of this game. I think I'm one of the few people who actually liked a lot of Interactive Magic's games.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of most of their stuff. I remember the M16, or not M16, the M1.
Yeah, no, that wasn't. That was probably one of their worst games, honestly. But I loved their flight sims. They had some good strategy games too.
Yeah, and they had IF-16, which wasn't so bad. I never played IF-22, but I heard it was okay.
IF-16 wasn't really them. IF-16 was. It was the same guys who made Hind. And
oh yeah.
Digital integration.
That was digital image. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was them. That was the American version of their British F-16 sim. So that really wasn't them, but the F-18 sim and the F-22 sim, that was theirs.
Oh, so how was the F-18 sim?
I loved it. I mean, your wingman fly like they're in the fucking Blue Angels. So that's kind of weird, but it's got a great dynamic campaign, and the flight modeling is just superb in that one.
Oh, very cool.
So that is a great game. But yeah, Star Rangers. I was wondering.
Do you remember A-10 Cuba?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I owned that for a while. That was a great. Even with the polygonal graphics, that was a fan. That was probably one of the best A-10 sims you can get for many years.
Yeah. It just blew my mind, like, given the technology back then, how smooth it was. Because it was smooth like glass.
Yeah.
All the other flight sims were kind of chuggy.
Well, they were trying to be all this photorealistic bullshit. Like, that was the problem with the IF-22 sim, is it tried to have all this photorealistic, land, and it was buggy as crap and slowed the thing to a crawl. But Cuba was all polygonal. It was kind of old school even for those days. And yeah, it ran like a top. It was just smooth as glass or silk. That was great stuff. But yeah, I actually liked Star Rangers. I feel like I'm one of the few in that camp who do. You should track it down.
It's maybe worth another look now that we've realized, oh yeah, it's Star Raiders.
Yeah. I think that
because,
might be why.
Oh, it clicks now. That's why they named it, Space Rangers.
And I knew that going in, so maybe that's why I liked it, and you didn't at the time. But yeah, that's a fun one.
Well, I think they were primed for failure with me because I had played IM1A1 and IF-16. And I was just like, oh, no. So it was like I landed that thing as like a review assignment, and it was like, oh, God.
And I just found out I do have Star Wars Starfighter. It's right there on my Steam list. I've never played it.
There you go.
I should give it a shot. Oh, another terrible one that I also see here on my Steam list that people should avoid. Even though I liked it, it's a bad game. It's XCOM Interceptor.
Oh, God.
That was a bad game. You know
that game should be ashamed of itself.
You know what's sad about that game, though? I think I've said this before. It's one of the few space sims with a dynamic campaign.
Yep.
One of the very few.
What were they thinking whenever they decided that they were going to make it, like, I don't know if Art Deco is the way to call it, but it was like, everything was styled like it's a 57 Chevy in space, right?
I think they were trying to match the nouveau Art Deco look of Apocalypse, XCOM Apocalypse,
right,
which came out not too far before this, if I remember correctly.
Are you familiar with the term in architecture, Googie?
Never heard.
Googy.
No.
Oh, okay. So here's an exercise. If you go to images.google.com and type in Googie, Googy.
Sorry, folks. You can all hear my keyboard. It's an old school Googy.
Maybe it's not. That isn't it.
Oh.
Maybe it's Googie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah.
It has a name.
It's like a Jetsons thing. It's like a Jetsons kind of.
And like the old bowling alleys and stuff. And yeah.
So
totally.
Well, XCOM
In fact, image number two is at Jetsons' house.
Yeah, I see that. But I think XCOM's biggest problem was the joystick. It was way too sensitive. And even when they tried to patch it, it was still terrible. Like, you'd move the joystick as a nanometer to the left, and you'd start spinning. Like, Jesus Christ. So you could never really hit anything. I mean, eventually you would learn to just, like, like, remember the Atari 2600 joystick where it had like that very limited movement? It was like,
yeah.
You had to move the joystick like that in XCOM Interceptor.
Oh, wow.
To accomplish anything. And like I said, it had a dynamic campaign. That's the only reason I stuck with it for a while.
We won't even mention beyond the name XCOM Exterminator.
Oh, is that that? Was that the first person?
That was the robot one. It was like they made XCOM Robotron.
They did?
And yeah, it was like a third-person XCOM Robotron game. It was terrible.
Really?
Oh, God, yes.
I don't even remember that one. That's surprising.
Yeah, no one should. It's part of the XCOM. If you buy on Steam the XCOM, like, all-inclusive pack.
Really?
You've got it. Yeah.
I probably do have it. Hang on. I probably do have it. XCOM Enforcer.
Enforcer. Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
I do have it. Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I want nothing to do with that.
Oh, man, you need to fire that up.
Oh, I don't think so.
You know, I'm looking at screenshots, and it doesn't look as bad as I remember it being, but I remember it being really bad.
Yeah, it probably was.
Really, really bad.
I hear the new XCOM is good. I have not played it yet, though.
It is.
Even though
quite good.
I was gifted it. Someone, I forget who, thank you, person, someone gifted it to me. I should really thank them and play the damn thing.
Yes. Yes, you should.
Yeah, but when do I have time? I got to say, this is the last podcast in March. I'm glad March is over because fuck March. March has been the shittiest month. Oh, my God. I haven't had time to play games. That's why the content's been so light on the site. I haven't had time to dig into anything except TIE Fighter.
Been working?
Working and just... And not just working, but just life, like a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of other stuff. So it's just busy. Like this past weekend, I must have put in 12 to 14 hours of Skyrim. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd really played anything for about – besides like little morsels of things here and there for like 3 weeks. And it was like I was getting my fix, man. Really, it was because I was on edge. I was cranky. I was tired. I was shaking. I'm not even kidding. I was going through withdrawal. And so playing 14 hours of Skyrim, now I'm ready to take on my next big review task, which is X3, Albion Prelude.
Yep.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not fond of the X games.
What?
Does Albion
Prelude come after the Terran conflict?
Yeah, this is supposed to be like the bridge between Terran conflict and the next one, which name I forget, Universe, Reunion, something like that. Yeah, the next one, this is kind of like a bridge between the old X universe and the new X universe and blah, blah, blah. And uh-huh. I remember I played it a little bit on the old computer when it came out a year or so ago, and it just chugged, which is why I haven't really touched it much. But it played better with a joystick with a mouse than it did with a joystick. And that was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is this detailed thing, and you're telling me I should play with a mouse. I don't know how I feel about this. But yeah, I've put in 69 minutes into it.
Wow.
Steve is saying 69 minutes played.
Yeah, I've got the Terran conflict installed.
Yeah.
And I played around with it a little bit. And like whenever you first spawn up, then there's a guy that's like an instructor there, mm-hmm. and you can engage the tutorial.
Yeah.
Although I'm finding the tutorial to be pretty weak, so I think you have to follow along in the manual.
Yeah,
to figure out what you're doing.
Well, in Albion Prelude, the tutorial sometimes just stops.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's a feature.
I've tried it twice or two or three times, and yeah, one time I did what it told me and nothing. Just like hello, hey there, buddy, hello. But yeah, see, I liked the first X because it was a little more simpler, but. Ever since then, they've just felt more and more like business sims where your office just happens to be a spaceship.
Hmm.
And
yeah, I'm not so much into that.
I'm not either. And apparently you can avoid all that. But I mean, if it's a major part of the game, why would I want to avoid all that? you know?
Yeah.
So that's my...
I have a question.
Sure. Shoot.
So you were talking about the XCOM game.
Mm-hmm.
With the ships that you were fighting, were they like flying saucer?
Yeah. Yeah,
type
pretty,
or,
pretty sure
okay.
they were. Yeah, like the one.
So they're not like rockets in the back and a nose on the front.
No, I believe they were actually like the flying saucers you'd find in like actual XCOM, the ones that would crash. You know, uh-huh. They were like that. I believe. Yeah.
Okay. See, this is the thing that I'm kind of wondering because I remember there was a game many, many, many years ago, and it was UFO something, and it never got released. It got canceled, but the like alpha code of it was floating around the web. Like, this is when the web was very young, and I remember downloading it on a dial-up. Okay,
oh,
it's that old. So, but this game, it was like you had a UFO. There was no front and back and whatever. So you would control the hover height, and then whichever way you turn the view, you'd tap a key.
And you're like on a farm or something, or around a farm.
No, I was fighting like jets and helicopters and stuff. And
what am I thinking?
Flying over a military base.
No,
but it was like if you needed to recharge, you could hover over power lines, you know, stuff like that. It was a brilliant game.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one. Yeah, I don't know if I ever played it because I don't think I could download it at the time.
What I thought was amazing was there was no inertia and there was no front and back of the craft. It was just like whichever way you wanted to go, you point the view that way and say, this is the way we're going now. And it would just instantly go. And I'm just thinking, like, I wonder if there is a market for an actual UFO sim like that.
Here's the thing. There was another UFO game back in the late 80s. It was called UFO, and it was actually from Sublogic. Remember them?
They did
you know, a few iterations of Flight Simulator. Then they did Jet. Which is like
I remember seeing screenshots of the UFO game, and you would abduct people and stuff.
Yeah, but it was the same thing. No inertia. You just move back, left, right, you know, up, down, and you could abduct people and stuff. And it was pretty cool, but apparently no one bought it.
Yeah.
So
those lessons tend to last a long time in the industry, right?
Yeah. So I think the closest you'll get to anything like that is like the console game Destroy All Humans, you know, where you get out and you run around as the alien, but then there are points where you get in your ship and you pew, pew, pew things on the ground or whatever. That might be the closest you get to that sort of thing, which is kind of a shame.
I don't know.
Because that would be fun. But they've never really done that.
No. I can see where it would be tough, but I wonder about, like, what if in a space game, right? Like, I don't know, Star Shatter or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you have an enemy that flies saucers, right? And then there is no more, like, what speed are they going and that, you know, and what vector and match speed with them and stuff. Because they can just, like, go any direction, any time.
It would be like that one
obey physics.
It'd be like, I forget the race, but remember in Star Control 1 and 2, there was that race, and they actually were
a sponsor,
and they didn't have
to. They were like Trelu or something.
Yeah, something like that, and they didn't have to deal with inertia. They could just stop.
Yeah,
and I always played them because they annoyed the people I was playing. They pissed them off. It was so great.
Hey, have you played the Starflight 2, the remake of it? Because they is like an open source remake of Starflight 2.
There's a few of them. I think there's one that's in my review queue. Starflight 2 something or other. There are a few ones. There's been like a Starflight 3 that's, I think, still in development. And there's one called Starflight the Lost Colony. That's the one that apparently is quote-unquote done. That's in my review queue. And then
this one's the Urquan Masters.
Was I saying Starflight and you were saying Star Control? I think maybe
I said Starflight, but I meant Star Control.
Yeah, no, I have played the Urquan Masters. That's good stuff. It's very good stuff.
Because I missed out on Starflight 2 whenever it was new.
Control.
So I went back and kind of caught up on it now, yeah.
Now, Star Control 2 does borrow a lot from Starflight, honestly. But it is honestly a more fun game, I think, in a lot of ways, because it's got a lot of humor. Its controls are nowhere near as obtuse, as a Starflight. But those are very beloved games. But don't play the third one. Don't play Star Control 3. Don't even.
It's a heartbreaker, huh?
It's like Master of Orion 3. Follow genius, and how do you follow that? I don't know, but someone tried, and they shouldn't have. So I guess those are all the games I was thinking of talking about, the ones people you should avoid. Do not buy or play these games, whether you see them on sale or on eBay or Amazon. Just stay away.
I wonder if there's any games that have high collector value because they are so bad.
Probably.
Yeah. Did you see? Oh yeah, I sent you the thing today where the guy I hope that he's trolling, right? Because nobody would do this. He found a Donkey Kong Game & Watch that had Shigeru Miyamoto's signature on it, and he was like doing an article on his website about how to restore these things. And he's like, "Yeah, they come in crappy condition," and he tore it all apart and put it back together. And then he's like, "Oh yeah, and then this signature, you know, like some kid put his name on it, so we can get that off the front with nail polish remover." Yeah. And the internet had a seizure, like, "Ah."
I know.
So I'm hoping that he was just expertly trolling, but it had to simmer for a long time because he posted it back in December. And it only had like two comments on the blog, right, until Reddit picked it up today. Yeah. So that was a slow burn troll, or it was the real thing. I don't know which.
I'm thinking the real thing, because wow, why would you be?
So if he did that for real, he just threw like $6,000 out the window.
That much?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Thousands of dollars, man.
Ah.
To the collectors for that stuff, because. I don't know. I've never really been into the whole Game & Watch thing. I was really down on like Tiger and all the little LCD handheld games and stuff back then. I was just like, this is generic. Give me an Atari 2600. It's better than this, right?
Oh, I had all that stuff though back in the day. I had the Game & Watch. I had the actual watches that had the little games, little LCD shit on them. I had all that stuff.
Yeah. Now, why did they call the handheld thing? Which, by the way, if you look at the Game & Watch and then you look at the first generation of the Nintendo DS that came out, it's like, wow, it's shocking how much it looks like a DS from, you know, 15 years before or something. But, I don't know, man. It was like they called it a Game & Watch. Why? Because it was the same game that was on a watch, but it was in that other form factor.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page now, and it's not explaining why. It's not explaining. Oh, okay. It features a single game to be played on an LCD screen in addition to a clock and an alarm.
Oh my gosh, there's a clock on it.
Yeah, I forgot all about that because I never used it because I was always wearing a watch.
It's the ubiquitous digital clock. That definitely started in like the late 80s to mid 90s. In the 90s, you couldn't buy anything that didn't have a digital clock. It's like Angry Birds is today. Everything will play Angry Birds. You know what I figured out? Angry Birds is actually the distribution mechanism for Skynet. It exists in this Angry Birds Trojan format. And it just gets out into all the PCs, and then someday it becomes self-aware, and just all of our devices are already possessed. That's it.
Oh, I hope not. I couldn't get into it at all, so I guess I'm...
Can you imagine a scenario, though? Like, they talk about, like, the cyber attacks from China and that. Can you imagine if they made a massively popular yet free game, and everybody installed it on all their shit? But inside of that game was remote control stuff where, like, the enemy state would take over all of our devices or spy on us or whatever, right?
That sounds like an episode of something I remember. that had to have been on something. I am remembering something like
that. Well, the tough thing is about an infection vector like that is you have to have a compelling reason for people to install it. And you want everybody to install it.
Yeah, so that's why you get Angry Birds on everything. Except for me. I'm safe. It'll be like that thing in Dollhouse.
Well, you have to play Angry Birds Star Wars, man.
No,
Angry
I don't.
Birds Space.
No, I don't.
You can't have a space game website and not have Angry Birds Space.
Sure,
come
I
on.
Can. It's my site. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Street cred is zero.
Well, I don't cover mobile games anyway, so I don't care. I don't have the time or the brain capacity.
But it'll play on anything. See, that's the thing. My microwave.
Yeah, this glass of water here can probably fucking play Angry Birds.
That's right. When I saw it play on the Roku, I was just like, oh god, we're doomed. This will play on anything.
I bet you it'll probably play on one of those Raspberry Pis. I bet
oh
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Raspberry Pi. I've seen people set those up as like little miniature MAME arcade
machines. I've heard about that too. Yeah, I've heard some people on other podcasts say that they're building MAME cabinets using Raspberry Pis, which blows my mind. Because now I kind of want to do that. I kind of want one of those tables. Remember, like the Miss Pac-Man table at the Pizza Hut?
We have two of them at work.
Oh.
Yeah, they're right in the cafeteria.
Oh, I love those so much.
The only thing that bites about them is whoever built them put in four-way joysticks, and a lot of the games require like a full range of motion on the stick. So it's kind of hard to play like Xevious with a four-way stick.
Right? Oh, what? Come on. You're not supposed to. Yeah. Oh, no. No. Come on.
I know, right?
Stupid.
So,
well, why don't we wrap this up, man? Yeah, this is a good hour shooting the stuff about some space games, some stuff we were playing and whatnot. Next week, we're going to have a guest, my friend Paul from my forums. He's a big fan of Sword of the Stars 2, so he might try to convince us to play that.
he's gonna be our canary in the coal mine and tell us whether that game's fixed or not, right?
Yeah, you know, I played it before the patch and I played it after the patch. I didn't notice too much of a difference, but they do keep patching it. I will give them props for that.
Well, that's good on them then. You know, yeah. Keep at it, because I think. I don't know if they're continuing to make sales on it, or it was like they're just trying to save their name so that when Sword of the Stars 3 comes out, I don't know. We'll get the deets from Paul next week.
Well, he'll probably also tell us about their recently released roguelike, Sword of the Stars The Pit, which apparently is doing fairly well. It takes place in that same universe. So maybe that'll get them some more fundage and more goodwill to do Sword of the Stars 3.
Yeah, I bought it. I haven't played it, but I bought it.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, I caught it when it was on sale because it was like $2 off because it's normally $9 and it was $7.
Nice.
So I was like, okay. So, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that next week, and we're probably going to talk some Distant Worlds as well because he's into that, and obviously I'm into that. So that's going to be kind of a strategy heavy.
Yeah.
Strategy.
So I got my work cut out for me now. I have to fire up Sword of the Stars 2 and play it now. So that'll be what I play the rest of the week.
Good luck with that. Remember, it kind of works in reverse when you're moving ships. This is what always confused me. Instead of selecting the ship and telling it to go somewhere, you select the system, select a mission for that system like scout or colonize, and then from there you choose a free ship to do that mission.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so bizarre.
I know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's one of those weird kind of roundy-bouty things about
it. Well, they really changed that radically from the first game, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Wow. Okay.
And let's see. What we got? So that's probably what we're going to talk about for next week. What do you think you're going to be playing over the next week?
That, and I'm going to try to get back to Endless Space.
Okay.
And then TIE Fighter. I went through all that work to get TIE Fighter going, and then I had to school up on Wing Commander games for like 2 weeks because we were going to talk to Chris.
Oh.
And then I haven't got back to TIE Fighter.
I'll jump into TIE Fighter.
I got the joystick sitting here staring at me like, come on, man, TIE Fighter.
Yeah. No, I totally have mine right here because I just played some yesterday, and I'm going to probably play some tomorrow. But anyway, excuse me. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on our sixth episode. We're trying a lack of a format to see how that goes, but I think it was fun. I think it was a good thing. But remember, folks, you can follow us on our RSS feed or our iTunes page. And I believe our email address, which I keep forgetting to mention, is feedback@spacegamejunkie.com if you have any questions, or you could leave them in the forum or in the comment section. Jim, thank you again so much for joining me. This is always a good time, even if it's just
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Even if it's just us talking and no one's listening, it's always a good time. it's a joy to talk to someone who understands the industry and loves it as much as you do. So thank you. But yeah, folks, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week. Goodbye.
Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze.